Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to take the operational roadmaps of the business world, strip out all the jargon, and really turn them into useful intelligence for you. Today, we are deep diving into some source material that is, well, it's frankly alarming.
It is.
It's focused entirely on the future of work and more specifically on the explicit hard numbers that executives are now attaching to AI deployment.
Right.
The core premise is pretty stark. AI is no longer this cool optional experiment that, you know, sits on a slide deck.
A hype slide is over.
Exactly. It's officially shifted to a hard budget line item.
Yeah.
And one that is dedicated to justifying, and this is the key part, significant headcount reduction in 2026.
Yeah, and the statistics we're seeing, they are immediate and they are explicit.
Let's start there then.
So we looked at multiple executive surveys, and the first data point that just jumped out at us involved chief marketing officers, the CMOs.
Okay.
A full 1 in 3 of those leaders expects to execute significant staff layoffs within the next 12 to 24 months. And that's explicitly because of AI.
Wow. 1 in 3. So that's not some small, quiet change. That is a strategic, announced plan.
And it gets even more aggressive when you look at the really big companies. For firms over, say, $20 billion in revenue, that figure climbs to about half. Half of CMOs are planning these cuts.
Not enough.
And it's not just marketing. We saw parallel research showing that nearly a third of all companies are preparing to replace human HR roles with AI systems. The people department itself.
So, okay, our mission for this deep dive feels incredibly crucial then.
I think so.
If executives are actively planning this, we need to know what technology they're using and, you know, who is most vulnerable. Yeah. We need to get past the noise and figure out precisely which 5 tool categories are being used for this, and then how you can transition from being, say, a replaceable worker to an AI orchestrator.
That is the essential pivot. We're basically giving you the playbook that they're using.
All right, so let's start with the timing. Mm-hmm. Why 2026? Why is that the year that keeps popping up in all these sources?
It's the tipping point. It's the year that these routine data-heavy tasks finally reach a critical mass for stable, reliable automation across all the major departments.
So the tech is just mature enough now.
It's mature, and maybe more importantly, it's integrated. The LLMs can now plug into legacy business systems in a way that makes the ROI on replacing a person just too compelling to ignore.
So based on the sources, what are the big risk areas, the role clusters?
We can group them into 4 major high-risk clusters, and these are being targeted for automation right now with a huge acceleration into 2026.
Okay, lay them out for us.
First, the obvious one, administrative and support. Think forms, ticketing, basic reporting, scheduling, all very process-heavy.
Makes sense.
Second, finance and legal. Things like contract review, scanning for compliance, all the heavy number crunching.
I'm seeing the pattern here. It's not about how complex the subject is, but how repeatable the task is within that subject.
Precisely. That is the key. Third, you've got media, design, and copywriting. Content, PR drafts, social media, layouts.
And what's the fourth?
The front line. Sales and customer service. So inbound queries, lead qualification, all those standardized follow-ups.
You know, you hit on a distinction I want to zero in on because it really changes how you should think about this threat. You said AI doesn't erase the job, it erases the tasks.
That is the single most critical insight. AI rarely, if ever, erases an entire job overnight. It systematically eats away at the repeatable tasks inside that job.
Give me an example.
Okay, think about a corporate accountant. Let's say that accountant does 10 different things in a day.
Right.
If AI can now handle 8 of those things, reconciliation, flagging weird numbers, drafting reports, and do it better, faster, and cheaper, well, the company doesn't need 10 accountants anymore.
You might need 2.
Exactly. Maybe 2, whose whole job is now to oversee the bots and handle the really complex strategic stuff. The role shifts from doing the work to directing the work.
That reframes the challenge completely. It's not about your job title. It's about what percentage of your day is grunt work.
That's it.
And what about the tech sector itself? I mean, the people building these tools can't be immune.
Oh, far from it. There's an international consortium. Google, Microsoft, Cisco are all in it. And they estimate that a staggering 92% of IT and communications technology roles will see high or medium transformation by 2026.
92%. So basically everyone.
Everyone. And the disruption isn't hitting the top level architects first. It's focused squarely on entry level and mid-level roles.
Why there?
Because the tasks are more defined. They're repeatable. If you're a junior dev writing boilerplate code or simple API calls, That is a perfect task for an LLM to take over.
So the demand for skills just shifts up.
It skyrockets. Suddenly it's all about AI literacy, workflow design, prompt engineering. Your job isn't to write the simple code anymore. It's to teach the AI how to write it and then audit the result.
Okay, this is fascinating. Let's shift gears and look under the hood. Let's get into the how. We need to pull open that 2026 AI toolbox and look at the five specific tool classes that are being used for this. Starting with tool number one, generative LLMs. I think this is one most people are thinking of, the threat to creative work.
It's definitely the loudest wave right now because the output is so visible. We're talking about large language models, multimodal generators, and they are aimed directly at copywriters, designers, social media managers, PR folks.
What are the specific tasks they're actually taking over?
Oh, the list is huge. Drafting ad scripts, landing page copy, press releases. But the real game changer is the scale.
Oh, so?
An LLM can instantly generate hundreds of personalized variants for different customer groups. It can auto-produce all your A/B test variations. No human team can even come close to matching that volume.
And that makes scaling creative output almost free. I remember seeing that Coca-Cola example in the news.
Yes. The Coca-Cola Christmas campaign, that was widely reported as being built entirely with AI, and it was a huge signal. It showed that creative work isn't some safe island anymore.
So for an executive, the motivation is just speed, volume, and cost.
And it runs 24/7. One subscription can do the work of several junior creatives.
But is it actually good creative? Is there still a human edge?
There is, but it's moved up the value chain. As people like Jamie Dimon have said, AI will eliminate a lot of execution-focused jobs, but deep critical thinking, real strategic communication, truly nuanced writing, those are still major weaknesses for these systems.
So the survival strategy becomes?
You become a prompt engineer plus editor plus strategist. You stop trying to write faster than the machine and start directing its strategy.
That's a perfect transition. So if tool one is external creative, tool two is internal structure. Let's talk smart HR and hiring platforms. A third of businesses are already planning to use these to replace HR roles.
It's a huge area for savings. HR is so data intensive, and the tasks in the crosshairs are way beyond just scanning resumes.
Like what?
Standardized skills tests, tracking employee sentiment by analyzing emails and chat, even making predictive recommendations for who should get promoted.
That sounds incredibly powerful for management. Maybe a little unsettling.
It is. The appeal is the scale, you know, processing thousands of resumes in minutes, and also the perceived objectivity. Now, we know algorithmic bias is a huge real risk.
Of course.
But the promise of data-driven, impartial HR is a massive driver. So the surviving roles shift. You need fewer generalists doing paperwork and more strategic workforce planners, more responsible AI specialists, more ethics auditors.
There it is again, the shift from execution to oversight and strategy.
It's the theme across all five.
Let's hit tool number three then, sales and ads agents. The self-driving CRM.
Right. This is all about autonomous agents that can manage entire ad campaigns, optimize spending in real time, and even interact with prospects.
And the scale of this is enormous. The sources pointed to that Google Ads reorg as a case study.
That's the clearest signal of intent I've seen. Google basically told employees they were reorganizing the entire ad business around new AI tools. And this was projected to impact roughly 45% of the 30,000 employees in that division.
45%? That's a colossal number. What are those AI ad agents actually doing?
It's end-to-end. They're designing campaigns, allocating the budget, constantly optimizing bids, and spitting out performance reports automatically. This hits roles like campaign specialists and ad analysts directly.
And what about the inside sales teams, the people managing the funnel?
That's where AI-enhanced CRMs are taking over. They score leads, suggest the next action, and auto-send outreach. The goal is to shrink a big sales team down to a small squad of elite closers who are just fed perfect leads by the AI.
Okay, tool four. Support bots and virtual agents. This feels like an obvious one. Customer service is always under intense cost pressure.
It is the front line, absolutely. And the 2026 style bots powered by real LLMs and voice synthesis are light years beyond the clunky chat bots we're used to.
So what can this new version actually do?
They can speak in a natural, empathetic voice. They can authenticate you, change your order, process a refund. They can answer almost any routine question. And they only escalate the really complex or emotional cases to a human.
And the business math on that must be?
It's unforgiving. One AI system with a small human oversight team can do the work of hundreds of agents. It's a massive, immediate cost reduction.
So where do the humans fit in? What's left?
They fit into conversation design.
Yeah.
You're building the logic flows. You're monitoring the overall customer experience for problems, and you're handling the high stakes complaints. You're not answering the phone, you're designing the phone system.
Okay, last one. Tool number 5, analytical automation. This is the one hitting the middle layers, right? The one that connects to that 92% transformation number in tech.
Exactly. This is the silent killer of the mid-level analyst. It targets those roles that bridge the gap between raw data and the executive summary.
How does that look in practice? Yeah. What does that data analyst do yesterday that the tool does today?
Well, AI-driven BI platforms are now generating narrative executive reports automatically.
Meaning they write the summary.
They write the whole memo, they connect to the data, find the trends, synthesize the conclusions, and draft the report before a human has even finished downloading the spreadsheets. That middle layer of compilation and summary just evaporates.
And we're seeing this in coding too.
Absolutely. Code assistants generate and refactor boilerplate code, shrinking the need for junior devs. In finance and legal, AI is scanning contracts and flagging risks faster than any human team possibly could.
The motivation is just so clear across all 5. It's about reducing error, compressing time, and running leaner. Okay, so we've surveyed the landscape. We've seen the pattern. AI is being used to justify headcount cuts, but jobs are being recomposed. The tasks are shifting. What does this all mean for you, the listener, right now?
Look, if we connect all these dots, the survival strategy for 2026 and beyond, it really rests on 3 pillars. If you can master these, you stop competing with the bots and you start commanding them.
Pillar 1.
Pillar 1 is just AI literacy. It's foundational. It isn't about knowing the name of the latest model. It's about understanding what these systems can do, where they fail, and how to rigorously interrogate their output. You have to treat the AI like a brilliant but lazy intern.
Never trust the first draft.
Never, ever.
Okay, so supervision is key. That leads to pillar 2, which has to be about designing the work itself.
That's it. Pillar 2 is prompt and workflow engineering. This is the ability to design an entire end-to-end process where AI does the grunt work. You become the architect of the whole flow. You ensure the output from tool A feeds correctly into tool B for analysis and so on. It's systems thinking.
So you're not just writing a better prompt. You're writing the entire operational manual for a fleet of bots.
Precisely. And that brings us to the final pillar, which is the undeniable one. Human strengths.
What the AI can't do.
The things executives still identify as AI's biggest weaknesses. We're talking about high bandwidth, empathetic communication, negotiation, deep critical thinking that challenges the basic assumptions, and of course, ethical judgment. These are things that require lived experience. No algorithm is close.
So the 2026 AI toolbox, it's absolutely going to replace a lot of old task lists. I think that's an inescapable conclusion from the source.
It is.
But the opportunity, and this should be your entire focus, is to be the person who decides what the new cast list looks like, to be the one commanding that fleet. You have to stop being the driver and become the navigator, the architect.
That's the move.
So building on that conclusion, we want to leave you with a provocative thought to consider. If your current job description was analyzed today, how many of your tasks are focused purely on execution versus supervision and design? And maybe more importantly, what is the single most valuable ethical or nuanced human judgment you provide that no algorithm, even in 2026, could replicate? Because that is where your secure footing lies. We'll see you for the next deep dive.